Radio for your community is here. Colwyn Bay's Bayside Radio.
This is Bayside Radio from Colwyn Bay. This is Simon. How are you doing? Today, I've been joined by two special guests from CVSE Conway to talk about grant funding and some of the projects that have supported communities across Denbighshire and Conway. I'm joined by Neil Pringle and Alad Roberts.
Hi, Simon.
How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Nice to have you both with us. So, the subject of grant funding, I think everyone's ears are going to be pricking up across the charitable sector and also the third sector, thinking, oh, what projects can we potentially fund? I'll turn to Neil first. Neil, can you tell us a little bit about your fund, which I think is the Gwyntymore Community Fund, is that right?
Yeah, the Gwyntymore Community Fund. Actually, Simon, I don't know if you know this, but there are four wind farms out in the bay, Liverpool Bay there, and Gwyntymore is one of the four, the other three being Real Flats, North Hoyle and Burbo Bank. And it just happens to be that Energy Renewables actually own two of those four. The biggest is Gwyntymore, which at the time of construction and launch was the second biggest offshore wind farm in the world. So we were launched in 2015, and it is a 25-year programme with a community budget of £19 million over that 3 years.
So that community budget...
25 years, sorry.
Right. So that £19 million, is that the fund that is available for community groups to apply to, or is that for other purposes?
No, that is for community groups to apply for. But that is almost moving straight to base 10. Before we actually got to that position, there was an extensive consultation process undertaken in the early days, even before the project was launched, in that the company engaged with a number of agencies and sectors and established a steering group and then undertook a community consultation exercise to see what the need and demand was out there, and they got over 1,000 responses. All those responses were then analysed, and the steering group, were totally independent of the company, then broke those down into three key themes. Now, any project that applies to the Gwyntymore Fund must be able to demonstrate that the project hits one of the three themes, and those three themes being community, in other words, building a strong, cohesive and sustainable community. The second one is economy, developing prosperous, enterprising communities with strong economic growth. And the third one is health and inequality, reducing poverty and inequalities in community. Mm-hmm. Now, that's very jargon-driven and orientated. So if we break it down simply, community is all about a great place to live today and tomorrow for ourselves and for our futures and for our families. The economy is all about sustaining existing positions, creating new employment, upskilling, apprenticeships, mentoring, training, working with young people, helping people to diversify, again, in the sector. And then health and inequality, it is what it is, really. Mm-hmm. It's helping the underprivileged, trying to eradicate or reduce poverty and things like homelessness, and helping third sector groups in terms of general health, and things like mental mm-hmm. health and so on and so forth. So any project needs to tick one of those or all of those boxes.
Quite an important criteria. So
indeed,
it's important for groups to think this is just not a money pot. It has to have some real social benefits.
Yes, indeed, yes. I think it's important to say that... it might sound daunting, and for a lot of people who don't are not familiar with filling in application forms, it can be quite scary. Our role is to work or go on the journey with the applicant from the very start to the end, if you like. So anybody who has an idea or a seed of a project, then I would recommend that they contact us at the earliest opportunity, so we can help and advise and guide them and go along that road with them on the journey. If the project is not and doesn't conform to the criteria, then it's better for that applicant to know early on rather than invest painful hours and hours and hours trying to develop a project which isn't going to be funded at the end of the day. Mm. It's important for that early communication.
So what would the process be typically then, Neil?
Typically, we would like an applicant to contact us, and happy to give out our contact details at the end of this discussion, and share their vision and idea with us. And we can then hopefully provide pointers, advice and guidance in certain the sorts of things that they need to consider or not to consider as they develop the project. be it capital and or revenue, and then we can meet either on a regular basis or share emails or look at draft applications as they work up the project.
And you also go out into the community, do a number of surgeries, is that right?
Indeed we do. We have a monthly surgery, always very popular, too popular to be honest. So what we do is usually the last Thursday of every month, we take bookings and allocate 3/4 of an hour for community groups to come to the office in Colwyn Bay at CVSC, where they can meet Aled, who is sitting alongside me. He looks after the Real Flats Community Fund. Sabina, who is our generic funding officer, who is a font of all knowledge on all sorts of funding opportunities. And also we have Lane Smith from the Community Lottery Fund Wales, who joins us, and then myself as Gwynter Moore manager. So there's 3 experienced heads there that community groups can come along and talk to and share ideas with, and we can give advice in return.
So what area do you serve then? Are applicants applications welcome from Conway, Denbighshire? What's sort of the geographic area that you focus on?
Well, thanks for the prompt. If we go east to west, it's very much the coastal strip for obvious reasons. And if we were to look on a map, then the area of benefit is from Mostyn Dock in the east, going west as far as the Conway Morvan, if you like. So the easiest way to describe almost is to follow the A55 corridor. But we don't go any further inland than St Asaph and Glan Conway, so it's very much the coastal strip.
Some examples, perhaps, of some of the projects that have been supported by Gwynter Moore?
Gosh.
I bet there's a lot of them.
there are a lot. We've worked with just under 1,000 groups since we went live, and we're now on just under 300 projects that have been supported and considered. What we do is provide a monthly report, an annual report, which is available online or in hard copy, and we list the things that the projects that we have supported. And I have brought with me somewhere just a snapshot of the sorts of things that we have provided funding for. And this is just a snapshot of the Colwyn Bay area, never mind the Flintshire and Denbighshire and the rest of Conway that we've looked at. So without just going and reeling a list of names off, if we look at, we provided the Escape Artists, which is a community group which meet up in Rose-on-Sea every week, and they provide art sessions for people who have just suffered bereavement. It's a place where they can come together. It's a community support group where they can get involved with in art and hopefully start to rebuild their lives after bereavement. And we provided them with just over £5,400 for resources and a tutor to help them run those sessions. Benefits Advice Shop drop-in, where in Colwyn Bay, that people can come and get advice on any benefits that they're entitled to. We've helped and supported the recently established Colwyn Bay Surf Life Saving Club, the Colwyn Bay Max Mixed Ability Cricket Club, River and Sea Sense, that operate and go around schools and youth groups educating and informing young people, well, everybody actually, of the dangers of water. Colwyn Bay Rugby Club, Upper Colwyn Bay Community Centre, where we provided funding up to £10,000 for energy saving resources to help cut their running costs.
I think I saw that actually. Yeah, that's fantastic. And also as well, I think we featured it on a Bayside podcast not so many months ago. We had the Tree of Lights, didn't we, in Rose-on-Sea, which was, I think, partially funded because I think we spoke to David about that, and he was telling us about the new lights and all the support you'd given there.
A brilliant little scheme. I think Aled could tell you more about that one.
Yeah, yes. Brilliant. So yeah. This is Aled Roberts. You deal with the Real Flat scheme.
I do. Indeed, yes.
So how is this? How does this differ then from Neil's fund?
Well, you could say this fund is the little brother or little sister to Gwynter Moore. It covers a much smaller coastal area of Conway, and it was set up in 2009. And it runs for 25 years. It has, I think, 30 turbines in total, just off the coast of, well, just off rail, really. And the fund itself, it covers Rossonsea all the way across to Kinmore Bay. And this one, as I said, is a much smaller fund, and it's £75,000 per annum in the pot. And in terms of its original setup, very much similar to what Neil was mentioning earlier on, in terms of the consultation and so on. It's a very small grant to manage, and hugely popular every year, but almost basically sold out, if you like, for the grant funds, which is really good. It shows the level of interest that we have from community groups. The smallest grant is £2,000, and it goes all the way up to £10,000 for local community groups. I mean, we support a wide range of community projects, which is really, really, really fascinating to work on.
Do you have a list of objectives? Is it very similar to Neil in terms of what you're looking the group and the project to achieve?
Yes, broadly very similar. In terms of people coming in, they can either give me a phone call with an idea for a potential project, or they pop in and see us in our monthly drop-in surgeries with myself and Neil, Sabina and Lynn from the lottery. So they have basically four themes. I'll read them out to you here. Strengthening your community for the future, involving your community and building community spirits, improving the lives of local people, and creating more viable local facilities. And there's also an extra add-on, which is delivering value for money. So all applications should ideally deliver value for money. And as long as they hit one or the other four criteria, then it'll be accepted into the assessment process, if you like.
And I think we touched, didn't we, on the Tree of Lights in Rose-on-Sea, which was a fantastic project, seeing all the crowds there. And obviously the net result of that was St David's Hospice raising an awful lot of money thanks to those lights. And it's Colwyn, was it the Rotary Club or the Round Table? Always forget the mixed up.
It's the Rotary Club of Rose-on-Sea.
So how did that work then? So tell me a little bit about that, because I think they recently celebrated, was it a 25-year anniversary?
That's correct, yes.
And their lights were dimming, so to speak.
They were, yes. They came to us in March last year, and the current lights, they've been around for a good several years, and they're due to be replaced, and looking for something more modern and more efficient to run. So they came to us for some more efficient lights, so basically LED lights. And these lights could actually be operated using a mobile phone app, so they could change the colours as well for different events that were taking place throughout the year. So they came to us in March last year, wanting to get these lights replaced. So we went through the discussion with the applicants, what they're looking for, and then went through the quotes, the bulb prices and so on. And to be honest, it was largely a straightforward application, and the benefit it had for the community in terms of fundraising for local hospice was absolutely phenomenal, if you like, because they'd raise, well, thousands each week for this good cause. And then, of course, the application went through, and we worked with the applicant, and it was successful. And they were like switched on late last year. And there were over 1,000 people in attendance at the switch on.
Fantastic.
It was really good.
That just shows you, doesn't it, that is such a fantastic use of community money,
yes,
whereby you're spending community money on a project which actually generates, you know, so much benefit, probably four or fivefold, which is fantastic.
Yes,
that's brilliant. Any other projects? Any notable projects that you're working on at the moment that you'd like to share with us?
We've actually funded since administering the scheme since August 2018. We've actually awarded 26 projects, and a total is almost over £160,000 in grant funding. And some of the projects have ranged from, for example, new insulated suspended ceiling and LED lights for a local sports association. We also have a new boiler for gym premises, for example, York Grays Gymnastics here. Also, Colwyn Bay Town Council, a contribution towards the Andrew Fraser clock replacement in Colwyn Bay here. We've also given funding towards benefits advice shop, which Neil's already mentioned as well. And I've looked through my list here. The list is quite comprehensive.
It's an endless list.
It is.
So if a community group or organisation has a very big project, is there a possibility that you can join forces, so somebody could perhaps apply to both Neil's fund and your fund as well to satisfy the project costs?
Indeed they can, yes. Yeah. We have had quite a few applicants that have come to us. And what we say to them is you can use one application form rather than submit two forms for the same project, and that makes life much easier for the applicants, of course. So let's say if they wanted £10,000 total project cost. They could apply to Gwynter Moor for £5,000 and Rural Flat for £5,000. That will then, of course, lessen the burden on each of the grant schemes as well. And because it's a private sort of company that runs the funding scheme, we're able to do that as well. So it makes life easier for everyone involved.
So lots to take in, lots of interesting things to share, and I'm sure you'll have lots of questions that people will have as a result of hearing this podcast.
I think one of the briefs that the company gave us when we undertook the contract was to simplify the grant application administration process. So our role is to work with the applicant. We try and scale that. We have tried to scale down the application form and keep it as simple and as easy to follow and complete as possible. And very much less is more for the panel. So I wouldn't want any prospective applicant to be stressing and worrying about a 30-page document. It isn't. That is not the case. We do need essential information. We do need to reassure the panel that the applicant is credible and that it's viable and sustainable. But beyond that, we don't expect reams and reams of information from people. From the Gwynter Moor perspective, the three levels of grant. There's what we call a micro grant, and that's from £100 to £1,000, and it's very, very easy. There are no cut-off dates if a project wants a simple, small amount of money to submit the application form. Then we have what we call a small grant, which is £1,000 to £10,000. Again, no cut-off dates, no deadlines. Work with us, submit the application when you think it's as good as it can possibly be, and we will take it to the panel. The panel meets four times a year, so if you miss one panel, then we can carry it forward. And as we said, that the project is a 25-year project, so there's no immediate rush. We will get to you. And then we have a large grant, which is £10,000 to £50,000. There is a cut-off date for that, and that is the 1st of March annually. And then your big project is considered in the June of every year. So that's the only cut-off date to remember. The large grants are 1st of March each year. Capital or revenue, as I said, and the panel, it is a community grant based in the community for the community and run by the community. So the panel members are local people from Flintshire, Denbighshire and Conway. Now, in terms of contacting us, either go onto the website, which is www.gwyntermoorfund.com, or email me, neilpringle@cvsc.org.uk, or you can contact me via phone on 01492 523 845.
And those are the same contact numbers for ALED, for the Real Flats Fund.
Mine's slightly different, obviously a different email address. My email address is aledroberts@cvsc.org.uk, and my direct number is 01492 523 856.
We'll put all the details under this podcast. If you're listening to this on the radio, obviously you won't see the information, but if you're listening to this on podcast, we'll put all the contact details, and presumably all the details can be found about all the grants via your website. If you just like to just give us that website address again, that would be great.
It's www.gwyntermoorfund.com.
Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
And continued success for both your community funds.
We'd like to think so.
Radio for your community is here. Colwyn Bayside Radio.
I play good variety of music.